Spirit. So let us read the scriptures. Our Old Testament reading is portions of selected verses from Ezekiel 47. It says there, "Then the angel brought me back to the door of the house, that is the temple of the Lord, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house of God toward the east, for the front of the temple was facing east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. And behold, water was spurting out from the south side of the gate. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this? These waters go out toward the eastern region and go down to the desert, the Jordan Valley. Then they go down to the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the Dead Sea shall be healed, and they shall become fresh. Everything will live wherever this river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it at the banks of the Dead Sea. By the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They shall bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for the healing of the nations.'" Now, from the final book of the New Testament, from the Revelation of John, Revelation 22, the first two verses, "And then the angel of the Lord showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." So again, you see in these two scriptures, one from Ezekiel 47, the other from Revelation, that an angel of the Lord has now spoken to a servant of the Lord and revealed things to him about this river and about the fruit and about the healing of the nations. And now we see on this beautiful day of Pentecost, a recording of the sermon that was preached and the events of that day in Acts 2, beginning in verse 1. We're going to read just the first four verses. "And now when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And it divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." This is the word of the Lord. It's wonderful to be together with you on this beautiful day of Pentecost. And as I was contemplating the message that I wanted to preach for this day, I wanted to give a little backstory on what Pentecost is, and then the implications of that for us. So the sermon is divided into three sections: Pentecost foreshadowed, Pentecost fulfilled, and then Pentecost experienced and embraced. So those are the three things we're going to look at today. So what is Pentecost? It comes from a Greek word, pente, meaning 50. And this is a festival, one of three major festivals of the Jewish people that is described in a couple of places in the Torah. In Leviticus 23 and in Deuteronomy 16, there is a whole and detailed explanation of the feasts of the Lord. Now, keep in mind that the people in those days had all sorts of feasts, and they were reveling, and a lot of time it was focused on idol worship or all sorts of unwholesome activity. And so there was drinking, and there was feasting, and what the Lord wanted to do was shape feasts, which is a natural tendency of our heart to rejoice and celebrate, around the central defining truth that it is God who gives us life. So when we're celebrating a feast and the focus is our great God and not ourselves, then we have different outcomes. So Pentecost was one of these three major feasts, and it is a Jewish festival called Shavuot. Now, the Hebrew word Shavuot simply means weeks. 7 weeks. That's 49 days. So on the 50th day would be this massive celebration, and it was the Feast of First Fruits. So God was telling them that when they would go into the promised land and they would plant their crops, let's say their winter barley, for example, that in the spring it would bear fruit. And around May, at the Feast of Weeks, they would have their first fruits. And God was teaching the people of Israel then and teaching us now that everything comes from God. The harvest is the Lord's. He is the one who brings the rain and causes the grain to grow. And he is the one that gives us sustenance and food. And so we should give him the best and the first fruits of everything in our life. Too many people with their abundance and their wealth give the Lord the short shrift. They give what's left over. And so again, God is reminding his people then, and he's reminding his people now, give the best of your first fruits and honor the Lord your God in your first fruits. So this is also tied in scripture, and you read about this in Exodus 19, to the departure of the people of Israel from bondage and from Egypt. And they leave there, and 50 days later, they show up at Mount Sinai. Now, Mount Sinai in the Old Testament is a place of significance because it is a place of encounter with God when God gave his people two things. He gave him the law, they gave the law, and also the instructions regarding the tabernacle. And that's very significant because these things foreshadow. They look forward to a time of the coming of the true reality. And there's a place in the scriptures, and we read about it already in the prophet's words, where God says, you know, I gave you my law on tablets of stone, but there will come a day, the day of the Spirit, when I will pour out my Spirit on all of you, and it will be on tablets of human hearts. Nobody will have to say to his brother or his sister, is this the thing I'm supposed to do? Is this the right thing? Because God's Spirit will live in each and every one of us, and we will know what it is that we're supposed to do, what is right and what is wrong, because, again, of his word and because the Spirit resides within us. And so this is what is being foreshadowed, that there would come a time when God would pour out his Spirit. Just so if you want to check that, it's in Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. So the prophet Jeremiah is the one who speaks of tablets of human hearts. So this feast was looking forward to a time when the things that were represented, the law and the tabernacle, would come into fulfillment. And where we see that fulfillment, at the time, 50 days after the Passover, 2,000 years ago. The Passover, of course, there was a sacrifice of a lamb, and it was foreshadowing the Lamb of God. So in the time of Peter and James and the disciples, and I preached about this last week, Jesus taught them and was with them and with many infallible proofs during that 40-day period before he went to heaven. He showed them all the things that were true about the kingdom that he had been preaching for the previous 3 years. And then there was a gap of 10 days in which he said, now you go to Jerusalem, and not long from now, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And it says in the scripture that we read in Acts 1 and 2 and 3 that there was something, it appeared as though there were tongues of fire. And the Holy Spirit filled each and every one of them. And each one of them was able to speak in different languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Peter preached his great sermon that day. And what was so beautiful, and I think I've mentioned this in a previous sermon, but the scripture says, if you look back into the account in Exodus 32, that because the people of Israel thought that Moses wasn't going to come down, they made a golden calf, and there was worship, and there was all sorts of revelry, and 3,000 people lost their lives that day because of the anger of the Lord. But on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches this sermon, and the Holy Spirit comes upon people, and they repent, the scripture says that 3,000 people came to know the Lord on that day. You see, there's a foreshadowing and then a fulfillment. There is a doing and then there's an undoing. And that is the way of God. He's fixing that which was broken. He's giving us his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit enables us to do the will of the Father. Now, I've mentioned about how there's law and Spirit. but there's also tabernacle and temple and us. See, in the Old Testament, God's Holy Spirit dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple. And you can read all about that, both in the Torah, but also when Solomon built his great and beautiful temple. The Holy Spirit indwelled that. Well, in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 19, Paul explains to the Christians that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus pointed forward to a day when it would no longer be on this mount or in this temple, but that God would indwell each and every one of us who calls upon the name of the Lord. And this is the beautiful promise that Peter spoke about. The promise is to you, the promise of the Holy Spirit, so that when you bend your knee and that you repent and you say, Jesus, I need you. I cannot live my life without you. Then he opens your heart and he pours his Holy Spirit. So we see on Pentecost 2,000 years ago that all that was promised in the Old Testament came to fruition. But what does that mean for you and for me today, 2,000 years later? Well, this Pentecost, which began 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem in the upper room, continues and will continue until Jesus returns. Jesus says, I will pour out my Spirit and I will accomplish the work that I have sent the Spirit out to do by his word. And so it's our joyful privilege as brothers and sisters in Christ in the church in our generation to live the gospel and to preach the gospel and to point people to Jesus. And we cannot do that without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So I've talked about the fact that Pentecost was a foreshadowing of what would come. And then the Spirit came 2,000 years ago, and Pentecost was fulfilled. But what does it look like for you and for me to experience and to embrace Pentecost ourselves? Well, when each and every one of us have bent our knee and come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. But that is a one-time event of coming across, so to speak, from death into life. But what does it mean when we sing this song, Fall Afresh on Me, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me? I believe that the scriptures are talking about, even in the rivers and the waters, that there is a continual flow of the Spirit in our lives. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to pray daily when we get up, saying, Lord, fill me afresh. Lord, wash over me with the truth of your holy word, and that the Spirit may bear witness in your heart that you belong to him, that you are a son, that you are a daughter, that your identity is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and in not anything else. And we need to remind ourselves of this because we live in this world and we have so many things that happen in our lives that get our eyes off of Jesus. Our focus so often falls onto just the reality of our lives here. And that is a fact of our lives. But the Spirit is constantly calling us to direct our eyes on Jesus. So the Spirit is that reality in our lives that brings freshness and renewal. So I want to challenge each and every one of you today, my brothers and sisters, as you read in God's word daily, as you pray, the scripture says, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. Whatever you're facing, my brothers and sisters, and some of you are facing challenges at work and with children. Some of you are facing health challenges, and your heart may be unsettled in one way or another. I challenge you to tap into the river of joy that is our God by his Holy Spirit, and to open yourself up to that, to keep yourself in step with the Spirit, and allow the Spirit to show you and to show me places in our lives where perhaps we're quenching the Spirit. My point there is, like, if we're able to quench the Spirit, then by the removal of those things that quench, we're able to allow the Spirit in his fullness to wash over us daily. And that is my hope and my prayer, my brothers, that Pentecost isn't something that was just spoken about 3,000 years ago or that happened to some Jewish people in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but that you and that I experience a personal Pentecost each and every day of our lives.